Step off the plane and into Aruba's living story. Beneath the postcard-perfect beaches and pastel sunsets lies an island with a voice of its own. Aruba is a blend of cultures shaped by migration, resilience, and rhythm. Here, the wind whispers through cactus fields, where the cacatillo once carved sacred drawings into stone. Fishermen still cast nets, passed down for generations, and papiamento echoes through the streets, an island-born language woven from African, Spanish, Dutch, and Portuguese roots. But Aruba isn't frozen in the past. It dances forward. You'll find murals stretching across San Nicolas, carnivals exploding with color and sound, and flavors born from centuries of trade and survival. From the glow of a beach bonfire to the first bite of a cheese-stuffed quechillena, every moment invites you to listen, taste, and feel deeper. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Origins and Ancient Echoes. To understand Aruba today, you must first listen to the wind. It carries stories older than maps, older than the Dutch Gables and cruise ports. Long before Aruba became a Caribbean getaway, it was home to the Cacatillo people, an Arawak-speaking group who arrived here over 2,000 years ago by sea, guided only by stars, currents, and memory. They settled on a dry, windswept island, one not blessed with rivers or fertile plains, but with towering limestone formations, cactus forests, and a quiet resilience baked into its soil. These early inhabitants adapted quickly. They grew cassava, hunted small game, and built communities in harmony with the land. Theirs was a culture of balance, rooted in ritual and shaped by the elements. In Aruba's harsh terrain, survival became its own form of artistry. Today, their presence lives on, etched into stone. Inside the island's Arakok National Park, you'll find the Fontaine and Ayo Caves. Step inside, and you're surrounded by silence, cool air, the scent of earth, and red ochre drawings that stretch across ancient limestone ceilings. Spirals, human forms, animals, symbols of a world we can no longer fully decode but can still feel. These pictographs are more than archaeological relics. They are echoes of prayer, ceremony, and cosmology. This is where the Cacatillo honored their ancestors, spoke to the spirits of the land, and charted the movement of the stars. Outside the caves, the island's dramatic topography tells more of the story. The towering monoliths of Kasibari and Ayo, once sites of sacred gathering, still rise from the earth like guardians. Their shapes are unlike anything else in the Caribbean, massive boulders heaped in surreal balance, formed by the slow work of volcanic heat and Caribbean wind. Archaeologists believe these formations once guided travelers, hosted ceremonies, and marked boundaries of Cacatillo territory. The arrival of Europeans in the late 15th century changed the island forever. In 1499, Spanish explorer Alonso de Ojeda stepped onto Aruba's shores. The Spanish claimed the island, but found little of economic value. No gold, no sugar. Yet they enslaved many Cacatillo and transported them to labor on other Caribbean islands. Aruba, while spared the intensity of plantation economies, still bore the wounds of colonization. In 1636, the Dutch West India Company took control, establishing Aruba as part of a strategic trade network that included nearby Curaçao and Bonaire. The Dutch didn't impose large-scale plantation agriculture here. Instead, Aruba became a provisioning outpost, a defensive stronghold, and eventually a unique melting pot. Freed Africans, indigenous survivors, Sephardic Jews, and European settlers lived side by side. While the balance of power was deeply unequal, a distinct Aruban identity quietly began to form. And with that identity came language. Papiamento, the native tongue of Aruba, was born from this cultural crossroads. It's a rhythmic blend of Arawak, Spanish, Portuguese, Dutch, African dialects, and English, a language not imposed but built. Spoken with pride, Papiamento reflects the complexity of survival and the creativity of adaptation. It is a living archive of Aruba's history, shaped by struggle and celebration. Travel through the island today, and the ancient still meets the modern. Schoolchildren learn about the Kakatiyo in classrooms and field trips to Arikok. Park rangers protect the cave drawings with reverence. And though Aruba is now home to over 90 nationalities, there remains a deep-rooted pride in the island's indigenous legacy. Cultural continuity is not a matter of preservation alone, it's a matter of presence. You'll see it in local crafts made from calabash and aloe, in dances that echo indigenous footwork, and in food seasoned not just with spice, but with story. Even Aruba's most famous natural landmark, the Divi Divi tree, forever bent westward by trade winds, seems to mirror this theme. Rooted, yet shaped by pressure, unmoving, yet open to the breeze. Like the Kakatiyo, Aruba endures, not by resisting change, but by curving with it, always holding on to where it came from. As we begin this journey through the culture, cuisine, and rhythms of Aruba, let this be your foundation, an island born of stone and salt, where stories are not always spoken, but are never lost. Here, the past is not behind you. It is all around you. Chapter 2. Built of Earth and History. Architecture is more than shelter. It's memory made visible, crafted from what the land gives, shaped by how people live. Nowhere is this truer than in Aruba's earliest homes, the Cas de Torto, the traditional mud houses that once defined the island's rural landscape. These humble dwellings tell the story of how a community survived on an island where water was scarce, timber was rare, and the sun showed little mercy. The Cas de Torto, literally House of Torto or Mud, were built from a mixture of clay, dried grass, cactus pulp, and stone. The walls were thick, almost a foot wide, designed to insulate against the punishing Caribbean heat. Roofs were made from cactus ribs, straw, or even wood salvaged from shipwrecks. Over time, these roofs were often replaced with corrugated tin, but the essence remained the same. Homes that breathed with the land, not in defiance of it. Many of these homes were built with community labor. Neighbors helped neighbors, and each family's knowledge of mixing mud, shaping walls, or thatching roofs was passed down like a recipe. The result wasn't just functional. It was beautiful in its simplicity. Soft earthen tones, rounded corners, whitewashed exteriors reflecting sunlight. Some even featured hand-carved wooden shutters or small crosses etched above the doorway for spiritual protection. These homes were rarely grand, but they held generations. A single room might serve as kitchen, bedroom, and living space. Goats were kept in the yard. Rainwater was collected in barrels, and aloe grew along the edges, used for healing, cooking, or trade. The walls were thick enough to hold stories, and the wind slipping through open windows carried lullabies and whispers in Papiamento. Today, only a few Cas de Torto remain. Many were lost to hurricanes, development, or neglect. But efforts are underway to preserve these symbols of Aruban identity. The National Archaeological Museum of Aruba has restored several, including a fully reconstructed traditional village near the capital of Oranjestad. These living exhibits allow visitors to walk through history, touch the cracked adobe, sit on hand-carved benches, and understand how people once lived in rhythm with nature. But Aruba's architectural story doesn't end with mud walls. In the 20th century, as oil wealth arrived with the Lago Refinery in San Nicolas, Aruba experienced an architectural evolution. Homes grew larger. Dutch colonial influences became more visible. You'll now find gabled facades, arched windows, and pastel-painted homes that blend Caribbean cheer with European design. Oranjestad, the capital, is a kaleidoscope of this hybrid style. Walk along the waterfront and you'll see brightly colored buildings trimmed in white, a visual echo of Amsterdam but softened by a Aruban sun. Markets bustle beneath their awnings, where you can buy everything from handmade dolls to Dutch cheese. But the real surprise is in the details. Look closely, and you'll notice how architecture here doesn't just reflect function or wealth. It reflects identity. A wall painted sunshine yellow might honor a grandmother's favorite dress. A cactus hedge might still serve as a living fence, just as it did generations ago. And tucked behind a modern house, you might still find an old Kunuku oven, wood-fired, clay-built, still used to bake bread for Sunday mornings. Aruba's built environment is layered. Beneath the new, the old persists, not as ruins, but as foundation. The town of San Nicolas is perhaps the most striking example of this fusion. Once a bustling refinery town, it fell quiet after the closure of the Lago plant. But in recent years, San Nicolas has transformed again, this time through art and culture. Street murals now stretch across abandoned buildings, painted by local and international artists during the annual Aruba Art Fair. These bold images speak of freedom, identity, migration, and dreams. One mural shows a Casa di Torto, cracked but unbowed, with a hummingbird hovering beside it. Another blends modern women in carnival dress with ancestral symbols drawn from cave art. These walls speak volumes. They don't erase the past. They paint it forward. This is the heart of Aruba's architectural story, not frozen in time, not copied from others, but constantly evolving, grounded in memory, and remade with pride. As we move deeper into this journey, remember that every structure has a soul, every wall holds a whisper, and on this island, the earth itself has been shaped into home. Chapter 3. Language, Faith, and Celebration. In Aruba, identity is not just spoken, it is sung, prayed, danced, and painted across every corner of the island. The heartbeat of this culture is found in three powerful forces: its language, its faith, and its traditions of celebration. Each tells a story of survival and synthesis, shaped by history and alive in everyday life. Let us begin with the voice of the island, Papiamento. Papiamento isn't just a language. It's a living record of Aruba's multicultural soul. Born from centuries of colonial rule, trade, and migration, it is a rich blend of Arawak roots, Portuguese rhythm, Spanish melody, Dutch precision, African echoes, and hints of English and French. It emerged not from a textbook, but from the streets, homes, and hearts of a people who needed a way to connect across difference. On paper, Papiamento may seem like a Creole. In practice, it is something far more refined, expressive, poetic, and resilient. It allows for intimacy and humor. It shifts smoothly from conversation to song to prayer. And it is spoken by nearly every Aruban, regardless of background, education, or class. The language's survival is no accident. During colonial times, it was suppressed in favor of Dutch, but the people kept it alive. They whispered it in kitchens, sang it in lullabies, and passed it from grandparent to grandchild. Today, Papiamento is the official language of Aruba, taught in schools and proudly used in government and media. Alongside Dutch, it is a pillar of national pride, spoken not just for function, but for identity. From language, we turn to faith. Aruba is a religiously diverse island, but the majority of its people, over 80%, identify as Roman Catholic. Catholic churches can be found in every town, their pastel-colored exteriors and open doors, offering quiet sanctuaries from the sun. Sunday services are often held in Papiamento, and the rituals blend European formality with Caribbean warmth. But Catholicism in Aruba is not rigid. It coexists with other traditions, evangelical, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, and Santeria, each carried by waves of migration. Respect and tolerance are woven into the fabric of daily life. A cross might hang beside a prayer cloth. A church bell might chime while a drum circle gathers nearby. This harmony is not accidental. It reflects a deeper cultural ethos. Aruba makes space for difference. Religious expression here is tactile. On Batiko Cross Day, honoring a national hero, you'll see families in their finest clothes heading to Mass, lighting candles not only for saints, but for ancestors. On other days, you might find offerings left beneath divi-divi trees or sacred songs sung at sunrise by fishermen before they set out to sea. Then, there are the celebrations, where language and faith erupt into joy. Few islands celebrate like Aruba. The calendar is dotted with festivals, but none are as electric as Carnival. This annual event, stretching from early January through late February, transforms the island into a living canvas. Every town has its own parade, each more extravagant than the last. Costumes shimmer with sequins and feathers. Brass bands boom. Dancers swirl through the streets with the energy of centuries behind them. Carnival is more than spectacle. It is ritual. It began as a pre-Lenten tradition introduced during Dutch colonial times, but Arubans transformed it into a celebration of identity and unity. Each troop tells a story about folklore, resistance, pride, or simply the joy of being alive. Families work on costumes for months. Children learn songs passed down for generations. And when the grand parade comes to Oranjestad, the island pulses with a single heartbeat. But Carnival is not alone. Derigai, celebrated in June, is one of Aruba's oldest folk festivals. It blends indigenous and Catholic customs in a uniquely local ritual. Derigai means burying the rooster, and the event involves blindfolded dancers, often children, attempting to strike a buried rooster, now replaced with symbolic alternatives, while surrounded by music and firelight. The event honors St. John the Baptist and symbolizes renewal, community, and the passing of tradition. Other cultural holidays include Flag and Anthem Day on March 18th, marking Aruba's move toward independence in 1986. On this day, the island is bathed in blue and yellow. Folk dancing, poetry readings, and storytelling bring communities together. You'll hear the national anthem sung in Papiamento, a ballad not of war or conquest, but of love for land and people. Each celebration, whether sacred or secular, reflects the same core values: resilience, joy, and community. In Aruba, culture is not static. It lives in the way a child sings in Papiamento while dancing in a costume sewn by a grandmother. It lives in the sound of church bells at dusk, in the taste of festival sweets sold from roadside stalls, and in the steady rhythm of drums echoing through narrow streets. As you explore deeper into the island, remember this: Aruba's greatest strength is not its beaches, it is its people, and the voices, beliefs, and celebrations they've carried through time. Chapter 4. Rhythm of the Island. If language is the voice of a people, then music is their soul-made sound. And in Aruba, the rhythm is everywhere. It rises with the morning tide in fishermen's songs. It echoes off pastel walls in backstreet plazas. It booms from brass bands during Carnival and hums softly on the breeze as evening settles over Cactus Hills. Music in Aruba is not just a form of entertainment. It's an inheritance, a celebration, a declaration of identity. The island's musical roots begin with tambu. Tambu is more than a drum. It's a pulse. Originally brought to Aruba and the neighboring ABC Islands by enslaved Africans, tambu began as both music and protest. Forbidden to speak freely or worship openly, enslaved people turned to rhythm as their form of resistance. With nothing but goatskin drums and iron instruments, they told stories, expressed grief, and called for liberation. The tambu drum, when struck, creates a deep, echoing sound, steady, hypnotic. Dancers accompany it with precise footwork and shoulder movements. Lyrics are often improvised, sung in papiamento, and sometimes laced with satire or coded criticism. Colonial powers once banned tambu as dangerous, fearing its emotional and communal power. But it survived in kitchens, courtyards, and hidden gatherings. Today, tambu is protected as cultural heritage and performed proudly at festivals and educational events. From tambu came a flowering of other genres, each layered with new arrivals, trade winds, and technological change. One of the most beloved is tumba, a genre that blends Afro-Caribbean percussion with Latin brass and jazz harmonies. With roots in Curaçao, tumba became a favorite in Aruba during the 20th century, especially during carnival. The annual Tumba Festival is a cornerstone of the season, where local musicians compete with original compositions that celebrate Aruban culture, politics, humor, and life. Then there's calypso, which made its way from Trinidad and Tobago, but found a home in Aruba's streets. In the weeks before carnival, calypso monarch competitions are held, where singers perform witty, topical songs about everything from politics to love triangles. The lyrics are clever, bold, and often laugh-out-loud funny, reminding listeners that music here is also commentary. Steel pan music is another carnival staple. Crafted from oil drums and tuned to carry melody, the steel pan transforms scrap metal into symphony. The rise of steel bands in Aruba during the mid-20th century created a sonic landscape that feels both nostalgic and futuristic. The clink and chime of pans still light up parades and stage shows across the island. And no rhythm in Aruba would be complete without the influence of salsa, merengue, reggae, zouk, and bachata, brought by immigrants from the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Colombia, and the wider Caribbean. Aruba's location at the crossroads of the Americas has given it a cultural playlist unlike any other. Nightclubs in Oranjestad might move from Bob Marley to Mark Anthony to local papiamento hits all in 1 hour. The blend is seamless, because here, rhythm doesn't need permission to travel. But Aruba's music isn't confined to stages and dance halls. On Tuesday nights, head to Fort Zoutman in the capital for the Bonbini Festival. Bonbini means welcome, and this weekly celebration is designed to showcase traditional Aruban culture. Locals and tourists gather as dancers perform in historic dress. Musicians play folkloric tunes, and storytellers share legends from the island's past. It's not a performance. It's a homecoming. In San Nicolas, Aruba's cultural capital, music pulses from open windows and street corners. Once a quiet refinery town, it now beats with life during the Aruba Art Fair and community concerts. Musicians from all backgrounds gather in pop-up jams and late-night soca sessions. Local choirs rehearse in churches. DJs set up on beachfront patios. The rhythm never sleeps. And each February, all these sounds converge in carnival, the grandest of stages. From the lighting parade that floods the streets with glowing costumes to the Juvert morning jump-up that erupts in sunrise revelry, music leads the way. Every troupe has a live band or sound truck. Every step is choreographed to drumbeats, horns, and shouted lyrics. The music moves the crowd, yes. But more than that, it reminds the people who they are, where they've been, and why they dance. Music in Aruba is not a product. It is a pulse. It lives in the hands of the drummer, the sway of the dancer, the voice of the child singing in papiamento on a parent's shoulders. It is taught in schools, shared in homes, and carried forward in the pride of every performer, from street musicians to recording stars. To visit Aruba without hearing its rhythm is to miss the soul of the island, So when you arrive, don't just listen, feel, clap, move, sing along, even if you don't know the words. Because on this island, rhythm is not background noise, it is the main event. Chapter 5. A Food Lover's Paradise. In Aruba, every dish tells a story. It's not just about flavor, it's about history, migration, creativity, and resilience. The island's cuisine reflects its multicultural roots, shaped by indigenous knowledge, African survival, European colonization, and Caribbean ingenuity. Food here isn't just nourishment. It's a memory you can taste, a legacy passed through generations, often without a recipe, just a feeling, a rhythm in the hands. Start with a pastéchi. You'll find it everywhere, from airport cafes to beachside food trucks, a golden half moon of dough, deep-fried until crisp and hot. The pastéchi is Aruba's most beloved snack. Stuffed with cheese, ground beef, tuna, or even spicy chicken, it's the kind of bite that holds the island's cultural fusion in its layers. The dough resembles Latin empanadas, but the filling is seasoned in distinctly Aruban ways: cumin, peppers, and a touch of sweetness. Portable, affordable, and delicious, it's the island's unofficial breakfast, school lunch, and afternoon pick-me-up. The national dish, keshi yena. At the heart of Aruban home cooking is keshi yena, a large ball or dome of cheese, usually edam or gouda, hollowed out and filled with a hearty mixture of spiced chicken, raisins, olives, onions, and capers. Baked until the cheese melts slightly and bubbles at the edges, it's savory, rich, and unforgettable. The story behind keshi yena is one of resourcefulness. Enslaved Africans on the island were often given leftovers or scraps from their Dutch enslavers, bits of meat and the rind of imported cheeses. They turned these fragments into a masterpiece. What began as a dish of survival became one of pride, eventually served at weddings, national celebrations, and family Sundays. Stews, sides, and soul. Aruba's cuisine is deeply rooted in the concept of stoba, a family of stews that use whatever is available and make it magical. Carne stoba is a beef stew, slow-cooked with potatoes, onions, and carrots until the meat falls apart in your mouth. Cabrito stoba, made from goat, is a nod to the livestock once raised in almost every rural yard. Pisca stoba, a fish stew, connects to Aruba's fishing villages and generations of coastal living. These stews are always accompanied by simple, comforting sides. Funchi, a cornmeal porridge akin to polenta, is firm enough to slice and soak up sauces. Arroz moro, or rice and beans, is cooked with garlic, onions, and spices. Panbati, a thick corn pancake, is lightly sweet and served with everything from soups to meats. You won't find artificial flair here. Aruba's food is earthy, honest, and layered with depth. Each bite feels like a grandmother's kitchen, no matter where you're from. Seafood, fresh from the shore. As an island, Aruba has always depended on the sea. Fishermen still bring in red snapper, grouper, and mahi-mahi from wooden boats docked in Oranjestad and Savaneta. These fish are often fried whole, scored, seasoned with lime and garlic, then served with pickled onions and sliced plantains. One of the most iconic seafood dishes is keri-keri, shredded fish seasoned with annatto, garlic, and celery, then stewed or sautéed. Once considered a humble dish, it's now celebrated in upscale restaurants and local homes alike. And don't miss calco, Aruba's take on conch, slow-cooked to tenderness and often served in tomato-based sauces, a true delicacy from the reef. Sweet traditions. Aruban desserts are simple but rich with story. Quesillo is the local flan, silky smooth and swimming in caramel. Cocada is a coconut candy made with brown sugar and love, chewy, sweet, and just a little salty. Pan douce, or sweet bread, is often studded with raisins and nuts, flavored with cinnamon and vanilla, served at holidays, baptisms, or just because. And if you're lucky enough to visit during a festival or family celebration, you may taste bolo preto, a dark rum cake soaked in aged spirits, packed with dried fruits, and passed down as heirloom tradition. Drinks that speak of place. No culinary tour of Aruba is complete without a sip of something local. The island's signature cocktail is the Aruba Arriba, created in 1963 by a bartender at the Aruba Caribbean Hotel. It's a colorful tropical blend of vodka, rum, creme de banana, fruit juices, and the iconic Coe Coe, a red liqueur made from agave, rum, and local spices. The drink is sweet, bold, and strong, just like the island that created it. Aruba also grows its own aloe vera, used not just for skin care, but in fresh juices and herbal remedies. You'll also find local tamarind drinks, fresh limeades, and batidos, fruit shakes, made with mango, papaya, or soursop. Modern fusion, traditional roots. Today, Aruba's culinary scene is expanding. Young chefs are returning to traditional recipes and reimagining them. Quechillena croquettes, vegan stobas, or fine dining twists on pastéis. The island now hosts food festivals, pop-up dining experiences, and cooking tours. Yet at its core, the food remains deeply connected to heritage. Family meals are still sacred, recipes are rarely written down, and whether you dine at a resort or a roadside stand, the guiding principle is the same. Feed from the heart. Because in Aruba, food is not just what you eat, it's how you remember, how you welcome, how you love. Chapter 6. Beyond the Shoreline Adventures. Most visitors come to Aruba for the beach, and rightly so. Its powder white sand and calm turquoise waters are postcard perfect. But to know Aruba, to truly feel the island's heartbeat, you must go beyond the shoreline. Away from the resorts lies a world of rugged beauty, cultural depth, and natural wonders that reveal the island's soul in unexpected ways. Arakok National Park, where Earth speaks. Covering nearly 20% of Aruba's landmass, Arakok National Park is the island's crown jewel of ecology and history. Here, desert meets ocean. The landscape is unlike anything else in the Caribbean. Raw, windswept, and surreal. Cactus forests sprawl across red rock hills. Goats wander freely, and wind-carved cliffs plunge into crashing surf. Walk the trails, and you'll encounter Aruba's oldest voices. The Fontaine and Quadirikiri Caves, nestled deep within the park, are marked by ancient red ochre drawings from the Kakatiyo people. Inside, the air cools, the light dims, and silence surrounds you. These sacred spaces once held ceremonies, healing rituals, and ancestral offerings. Bats hover in the shadows, a reminder that this is still a living ecosystem. Outside, the terrain is dotted with volcanic boulders and limestone terraces. The Shoko, Aruba's burrowing owl and national bird, peeks out from nests in the ground. The endangered Kododo lizard sunbathes on rocks. And, if you're lucky, you might catch a glimpse of the cascabel, a rare rattlesnake found only in Aruba. Guided tours and eco-hikes are available, but many locals recommend simply walking. No destination, no distractions, just the wind, the sky, and the story beneath your feet. The North Coast. Raw and untamed. Venture up the island's northeast coast and the scenery changes. Gone are the gentle waters of Palm Beach. Here, waves crash against jagged cliffs and the wind howls across barren plateaus. At Natural Bridge, you'll see what centuries of erosion can sculpt, once the largest natural limestone arch in the Caribbean, the original collapsed in 2005, but smaller bridges and stunning rock formations still remain. Tourists take photos, yes, but locals visit for quiet reflection. Nearby, Bushirabana Gold Mill ruins stand as a silent monument to Aruba's 19th-century gold rush. The stone ruins overlook the sea, their arches now framing the horizon. It's a perfect place to watch the waves and imagine a time when fortune hunters believed this desert island might hold treasure in its veins. And if you're feeling adventurous, head to Conchi, Aruba's famous natural pool. Tucked among volcanic rocks, this crystal-clear basin is pounded by waves and accessed only by 4x4 or on horseback. The journey is half the experience, bouncing over rugged paths, past wild donkeys and windswept divi-divi trees, until the ocean opens up before you. San Nicolas, Art and Identity. On the southeastern tip of the island lies San Nicolas, once the heart of Aruba's oil industry. When the refinery closed, many feared the town would fade. Instead, it transformed. San Nicolas is now Aruba's cultural heartbeat. Its streets are lined with massive murals, works of art created during the Aruba Art Fair by painters from all over the world. The buildings themselves have become canvases. One depicts an elderly woman in traditional dress, her eyes calm but proud. Another blends Caribbean folklore with modern street style. Step into Cosecha, a gallery and marketplace showcasing 100% Aruban-made crafts and designs, from pottery and paintings to handmade jewelry. Each item carries the Sello Nacional certification, ensuring it is locally crafted and culturally authentic. The vibe in San Nicolas is slow and soulful. People greet you in Papiamento. Music floats from open doors. Cafes serve homemade pastries and batidos, and there's always someone ready to share a story. It's less about sightseeing and more about presence. Water adventures with depth. Of course, the sea still calls, and Aruba answers in color. Snorkeling in Boca Catalina or Manguel Alto offers close encounters with vibrant coral, parrotfish, sea fans, and even sea turtles. For a deeper dive, head to the Antilla shipwreck, one of the largest in the Caribbean. This German freighter was scuttled during World War II and now serves as a hauntingly beautiful artificial reef teeming with marine life. Water sports are everywhere. Kite surfing on Hadikarari Beach, paddleboarding in the mangroves, or sailing into the sunset aboard a catamaran. But some experiences go further. Take the ferry to De Palm Island, a small private islet offering underwater helmet diving, a surreal way to walk on the sea floor surrounded by tropical fish and coral gardens. It's a favorite among families and first-timers, a blend of fun and wonder. The South Coast, quiet shores, and local flavor. While much of Aruba's western coastline is developed, the southern shore remains quieter and more rooted in local life. Villages like Savaneta and Post Chiquito offer glimpses of traditional island living. Fishermen mend their nets. Grandmothers sell home-cooked snacks from roadside carts. The pace is slow. The smiles are warm. In Savaneta, you can dine at restaurants built right over the water. Try freshly grilled snapper, seasoned with lime and garlic, while watching the sun dip into the Caribbean Sea. This is where the beach becomes background, and the people become the reason you stay. Aruba's adventures are not only adrenaline-filled. They're grounding. They're sensory. They remind you that discovery doesn't always mean distance. Sometimes, it means looking closer at the land, the sky, the people, and realizing that the most unforgettable journeys don't come from what you do, but how deeply you feel it. Chapter 7. Festivals, Freedom, Future. In Aruba, time does doesn't just pass, it dances. Every year, the island's calendar erupts into a dazzling cycle of celebrations, each one echoing centuries of tradition, survival, and shared identity. These aren't just festivals. They are declarations of freedom, reflections of resilience, and invitations to anyone willing to listen, dance, or sing along. Let's begin with the island's most electrifying showcase of culture. Carnival. Carnival, the crown jewel of Aruban identity. Carnival is more than a party. It's an emotional crescendo that builds over weeks, even months. From early January to late February, Aruba transforms. Every weekend brings parades, pageants, concerts, and colorful chaos. The energy begins with torchlight parades, glittering rivers of dancers, costumes, and music winding through the streets by night. Then comes Calypso and Road March, where singers compete with witty, sharp lyrics about politics, love, and island life. The words cut deep, but always to a beat that demands movement. Each town hosts its own jump-ups, impromptu street parties with live bands on trucks, and thousands of revelers dancing from dusk to dawn. The grand parade in Oranjestad is the climax. Thousands of participants in handcrafted costumes, adorned with feathers, sequins, lights, and symbolism. The effort behind each troupe is extraordinary. Families working for months, sometimes a full year, to bring their vision to life. What sets Aruba's carnival apart isn't just the scale, it's the heart. Each costume tells a story. Each song remembers a moment. And every dancer, from toddlers in strollers to grandmothers in sequined gowns, is a keeper of cultural memory. Derigay, Ancient Fire and Faith. While carnival pulses with movement and spectacle, Derigay is rooted in stillness and soil. Celebrated on June 24th, this festival blends Catholic and indigenous traditions in a uniquely Aruban way. Derigay means bury the rooster, and originally involved blindfolded participants attempting to strike a buried rooster as a symbol of sacrifice and renewal. Today, the animal is represented symbolically, but the essence remains. Music plays, fires burn, and dancers in yellow and red, St. John's colors, perform around bonfires in towns like Santa Cruz. It's a quieter celebration, full of rhythm and memory, a way for Arubans to honor their agricultural past, their ancestral spirituality, and the power of community. Flag and Anthem Day, Pride in Every Note. On March 18th, Aruba pauses to remember the day it stepped forward on its own terms. In 1986, the island achieved status aparte, becoming a separate autonomous country within the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Flag and Anthem Day isn't a military march. It's a cultural tribute. Schoolchildren recite poems in Papiamento. Folk dancers perform in town squares. Artisans display traditional crafts, lacework, basket weaving, and wood carvings, while families gather for local dishes and storytelling. The flag, a sky blue field with two yellow stripes and a red star, flies proudly on homes and buildings. The star represents Aruba, surrounded by the blue of the Caribbean and the white of its beaches. The yellow lines symbolize the island's abundance and sunny nature. The meaning is simple. We are small, but we shine. On this day, the national anthem is sung in full. It begins not with conquest or bloodshed, but with love. Aruba Dushi Terra. Aruba, sweet land. Caribbean Sea, Jazz Festival and Emerging Voices. In October, Aruba hosts the Caribbean Sea Jazz Festival, attracting artists from across the Caribbean, Latin America, and Europe. The festival mixes classic jazz with reggae, salsa, funk, and pop. It takes place under open skies, with stages set against the backdrop of Oranjestad's marina and local markets. But more than music, the festival gives space to young artists, activists, and entrepreneurs who use culture to challenge, uplift, and inspire. Workshops, open mic sessions, and community outreach projects reveal a future shaped not just by tourism, but by art with purpose. A culture that moves forward without forgetting. Today's Aruba is many things: cosmopolitan, connected, forward-looking. Yet it refuses to forget where it came from. Across the island, there's a visible effort to preserve, protect, and promote cultural heritage. Papiamento is now taught in schools and used in official signage. The National Archaeological Museum highlights indigenous stories. Local organizations mentor young dancers, musicians, and chefs, ensuring that traditions aren't just performed, but understood. At the same time, Aruba is embracing the future. Sustainability programs protect coral reefs and national parks. Local farms and permaculture gardens are re-emerging. Solar energy powers public buildings. Aruba's vision is not just economic growth, it's cultural continuity with modern consciousness. In short, Aruba is writing its own story, page by page, drumbeat by drumbeat. Your invitation to remember, rejoice, and return. To experience Aruba is to step into a rhythm that is deeper than tourism. It's a call to remember your own roots, to celebrate difference, to witness what it means for an island to honor the past while dancing into the future. Because here, on this small desert island in the southern Caribbean, culture is not just what people do, it's who they are. And if you listen closely, in the music, the food, the festivals, the faces, you'll find that Aruba doesn't just welcome visitors. It welcomes connection.